Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and fastest growing, now largest segment of society. To those who've come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, economic, academic, and media institutions like SRN News are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. Good God. Put that woman out of her misery. SRN, to cover that story, what a disgrace. A Muslim moron woman in the UK resigns because she doesn't think the UK has been harsh enough on Jews and that it is morally indefensible because all they have done is decry Israel. Oh, you know, it's just pathetic. Here you have the Islamic State, fundamentalist Muslims, working their way through Syria and Iraq, labeling every Christian home their property, making anyone who wishes to remain a Christian submit to them in abject humility or die. Here's the Islamic State taking every Muslim who doesn't agree with their version of Islam, Sunni versus Shia, and decapitating them and posting their heads on stakes. And she wants to call Israel morally reprehensible? Only in a world that is corrupted by Islam would such a statement even make the news. Would such a woman be considered credible as opposed to regrettable? It is astonishing how clear the choice is between good and evil as it relates to the difference between Muslims and Israelis in the Gaza conflict. And yet, seeing black as white and white as black, the Muslims and their sympathizers and among those who are politically correct rail against Israel. Shame on you. You ought to be disgusted. Speaking of disgusting, the U.S. Air Force Academy, its superintendent, is calling for a full investigation into cadet athletes after more reports of sexual assaults, of drug use, and of cheating. According to the documents released to the Colorado Springs Gazette newspaper, which is where the academy is located in the foothills above it, through the Freedom of Information Act, and this wouldn't have been released because the U.S. military is into keeping secrets, mostly secrets of its own malfeasance, dating to 2010, indicated that cadets who were smoking marijuana and drinking until they became ill, and that they also used date rape drugs to incapacitate women for sexual assault. The troubled group, which reportedly included two Air Force football stars who were court-martialed, created such a wild culture that the leaders at the academy canceled an undercover sting planned for a 2012 party out of fears that its agents wouldn't be able to protect women from rape. It's so bad, you couldn't even send in law enforcement. Experts blame big money sports like football, as well as a drive to win, for fermenting big behavior and a corrupt culture. No, the problem is the military. It is based on indoctrination. It is based upon revisionist history. It is based on a false reality. It is an institution that claims to be the protector of freedom, and yet there is no freedom. It's an upside-down world that is causing the most heinous environment for women and for sexual abuse anywhere in the Western world. 80% of women who serve a 5-year term in the U.S. military are going to be sexually assaulted, and less than 1% of the perpetrators are going to be held accountable. The U.S. military is broken. It ought to be despised as opposed to appreciated. Let me tell you how bad it is. Front page, Los Angeles Times. This is yesterday. As disability awards for post-traumatic stress disorder have grown nearly fivefold over the past 13 years, so have concerns that many veterans are exaggerating the problem. The spike in those who are claiming to be stress disordered, based upon the Vietnam and Gulf Wars, comprise about 95% of the total who have claimed this malady. And the numbers are escalating, just skyrocketing. In 1990, for example, there were only 33,000 veterans who claimed that they had PTSD. In 2013, the overall number is 650,000. Look, from 1990 to 2013, the number of American veterans who are asking for disability awards because they say they're suffering from PTSD has increased from 33,000 to 650,000. Scott, do you know why these cheating, lying scumbags are claiming that they have PTSD?
I didn't know until about probably about 15 minutes ago. It's they're getting $3,000 tax free every month.
Every month.
Every month.
That's $36,000 a year tax free, which is the equivalent of about 50%, almost 60% of that amount because of the tax consequences of it. $3,000 a month, tax-free.
Yeah.
You know, it collectively it represents $50 billion to this bankrupt country.
If you know somebody's going to get, you know, $3,000 tax-free, if you're a doctor, why wouldn't you say they have it? Because you know they're going to pay your bill.
I understand in Vietnam. In Vietnam, that was the most stupid war, at least ever fought by America up to that point. The constant grind of Vietnam was that we were there to keep these people free from communism because of the domino effect. Well, the domino effect never occurred, and we didn't keep them free from communism. But the people that we were trying to keep from free from communism were just as willing and as ready to hand a GI a loaf of bread as they were a grenade. And more than that, the strategy of our idiotic military was constantly, you go capture that hill. Why? Because we captured hills in World War II. You go capture that hill. And there would be huge carnage in terms of those Americans mortally wounded capturing the hill. And guess what we did the moment we captured the hill?
Gave it back.
We gave it back. Over and over and over again. So if you're watching your buddies being murdered for nothing.
Well, that's what I was going to point out is that Vietnam, that was 20 years and 60,000 troops died in that. In our wars now, we're not even close to that. We're not even pushing.
Yeah, there's a misnomer about the carnage of war in terms of the Americans who engaged in Iraq and Afghanistan. You see, Iraq and Afghanistan was even worse in terms of the fighting than was Vietnam. And the reason was because rather than fighting in the desert and fighting an actual military that wore military uniforms, as was the case in Vietnam with the Viet Cong, in Afghanistan and Iraq, there were no military uniforms. Our military never engaged anyone wearing a uniform or an army unit. And rather than fighting in the jungles, we fought in the cities against civilians. And the only reason that the death toll in Vietnam was greater than the death toll of Afghanistan and Iraq is because of the medevac and emergency medical procedures that were able to stop death, to forestall death. But we brought back 10 mutilated bodies for every one that we brought back in a casket in Afghanistan and Iraq. So the number of casualties, if you include severe wounds, was very comparable to Vietnam. The difference was that a disproportionate number came back in pieces from Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, the reason that such a large increase would have occurred, and, you know, this increase is a result of Afghanistan and Iraq, and that the basis for the invasions were both lies. George W. Bush lied to America as to the reason for the invasion. So you're involved in a war based on a pile of lies. Then worse, you're told you're there to provide democracy for a group of people who want you dead. You're there to liberate people who think that it's their religious responsibility to kill you. And then you watch the behavior of those that you're training to take over once you leave. And they're the ones who are most apt to kill you. After a while, it's going to drive you insane. You know, you're going to recognize that the U.S. military is irresponsible, immoral, and you're going to realize that everything you're witnessing here is irrational and immoral, and it will drive you crazy, which is why there has been an increase from 30-some-odd thousand to 600,000. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. During the break, Scott asked me, how many men and women are in the U.S. military and in active duty? Because 650,000 having currently receiving post-traumatic stress disorder disability. 600, well, the exact number, 648,992. And that's a stunning number. So how would you like to compare that to the total number in active duty in the U.S. military that could actually claim? I mean, if you're flying, if you're in the Air Force or you're in the Navy, you weren't engaged in any of this unless you were in the Marine Corps. So you're talking about Marine Corps and Army that would say, you know, I have been stressed by the carnage of war.
Well, they're the ones
650,000.
They're the ones doing
active duty enlisted in officers, 650,000 enlisted in officers in the U.S. Army and Marine Corps, and 650,000 post-traumatic stress disorder. Boy, you put those two numbers together, and you realize that that the U.S. military is manufacturing psychoses. Now, there's another aspect of this that no one wants to deal with. About 6 months ago, there were many articles about U.S. Senate investigations of the rising number of suicides committed by returning Gulf War vets. And the number that was reported was 22 a day. Now, 22 a day is a big number, 22 a day of vets committing suicide. But all you had to do is read the basis of any one of those reports, and you come to realize that the 22 a day was from states representing 40% of the U.S. population, that 60% of the population lived in states that don't even acknowledge a military association to a suicide. So in the 40% of states by population that acknowledge a military service as an aspect of a person's life who has committed suicide, there's 22 per day. So you've got to increase the number for America as a whole by a factor to make 40% represent 100%. Then the next thing you need to do is realize that in the 40% of states by population that we're acknowledging the military service in the history of suicide perpetrators and victims, that in those states, only 70% of the forms were actually filled out. In other words, the 22 has been diminished by 70% for non-form compliance and only representing 40% of the total. So you need another 60% to equate to the total plus another 30%. Do the math. That's 80 per day. 80 per day is almost 30,000 a year. So you have 600,000 active duty, 650,000 active duty Marine and Army enlisted men and women and officers, and you have 650,000 claiming post-traumatic stress disorder. And in the last 10 years, you've had over 300,000 commit suicide, taking their own lives. And all the while, a woman who serves a 5-year term in the U.S. military has an 80% likelihood of being sexually abused, and the perpetrator has a 1% chance of being convicted. And you want to salute the troops? You want to salute those who made the world vastly more dangerous by invading Afghanistan and Iraq, giving Iraq to the Shiites in Iran, and creating the environment that led to not only the Syrian civil war, but now to the Islamic State? Sobering, folks. In a related story, Dateline is Kabul, Afghanistan. A United States Army Major General, this would be a 2-star general, was killed today by the Taliban. No. By an Afghan soldier shot, therefore, at close range at a military training academy on the outskirts of Kabul. The very men that were equipping and training killed him. Come to find out that the academy where Afghani Muslims were getting trained to be officers in the Afghan National Army, it was run by the British. Yeah, run by the same country that the wicked Muslim woman just resigned from the government. The officer in training actually wounded 14 prior to killing the U.S. general. The assessment of what occurred was provided by the head of Afghan's military, General Mohammed. He's trying to say, I wonder what happened. Gee, I wonder what happened too. You can put a Muslim in the army, but you can't take the Islam out of the Muslim. We were covering this story yesterday, and I want to continue with it. It is what occurred over the weekend. There was so much more to the story than I shared that I'd like to jump back into it. Sunday morning, the Sunni fighters of the Islamic State swept in to take Sinjar, deploying a method of conquest that is now as familiar as it is brutal. They destroyed a Shiite shrine just for giggles, adding some here and there, although thought you wouldn't mind. They executed resistors, carving off their heads, only because they could. And then they overran local security forces and hoisted the black flag of the Islamic State above government buildings. Within hours, the Sunni militants, the Mujahideen, demanded that the city's residents swear allegiance to the Islamic State or be killed. I just love the no compulsion in religion within Islam. You swear allegiance to the Islamic State and to Sunni Islam, or we will kill you. I mean, don't consider this to be, you know, compulsion, because the Quran says there should be no compulsion in religion. We're not trying to influence you in any way. This is not a debate. This is not a democratic referendum. Simple choice. Do you want to become a Muslim, or do you want to die? Because if you don't become a Muslim, we're going to kill you. Oh, by the way, you're already a Muslim, but you're just not in accord with our strain of Islam. I kill you. The group's social media campaign is already underway, with photos posted online showing throngs of Mujahideen patrolling the streets, with others showing decapitated victims, their heads on sticks. Well, the message was reasonably clear. Whose side do you want to be on? In the face of stiff resistance from Shiite militias aligned with Iran, that would be Hezbollah, they have stalled their march on Baghdad. But the Islamic State fighters who captured Mosul in June, rather than pushing south this weekend, pushed north. This is something that I told you was so worrisome yesterday. Because most Muslims, inspired by the most megalomaniac and egotistical, prideful of spirits, Satan, are always so cocky, so sure of themselves, that they don't think there's any chance that they will lose at anything, no matter how poorly equipped or poorly prepared they are for the adventure, or misadventure in the case of Islam. So you would have expected a Muslim terrorist organization like the Islamic State to just plow headlong into Baghdad. But they didn't. They showed restraint. Not restraint in terms of good behavior, but military restraint in not attacking Baghdad. Instead, protecting their rear and their flanks. That means that this is not an ordinary group of Islamic jihadists, but is in fact led by people who've had military training, who have, as we watch what happens in these cities, when the markets are now full, when the electricity works, when water is accessible, courts run. Although heinous as they may be, this is a group that is managed by those who have managed civilian populations. So here they went north. They went west. They went east. They did everything but move south. And by Sunday afternoon, they were not only in control of Sinjar, but two other towns after fierce battles with the Kurd security forces, known as the Peshmerga. All right, Scott, I'm going to give you an opportunity to guess what Peshmerga represents. It is a Muslim Kurdish Mujahideen force. It's the security forces of the Kurds. And Peshmerga is in their Kurdish language. It represents what these militia forces represent. What would you like to guess that name means?
Peshmerga.
Peshmerga. Pesh is means before.
Okay.
And what do you think merga might mean? It's a derivative of the Hebrew word for death.
Before murder?
Yeah, before dying.
Okay.
Before dying. You join a Islamic mujahideen right before you die. You want to die, you become a jihadist. Now, you might say, wait a minute. I thought the purpose of a jihadist was to go to kill others. But no, that is actually not the primary purpose of a jihadist. A jihadist isn't in it to take the life of someone he doesn't know. The jihadist is in it so that he or she can die, because dying, fighting in Allah's cause, is the only express ticket to Allah's brothel of paradise before death, before dying. Tells you everything you need to know about Islam. It is a death cult. It has always been a death cult. In fact, we're going to read a story before too long. I don't know if we'll get to it today or if we get to it tomorrow, that affirms that Hamas specifically set its women and children to die for the cause, and it was a great honor for them to die for the cause when they were used to shield the tunnels and rocket launchers in Gaza. So here we go. The organization is Before Death, who have increasingly thrust into battle to defend the border of their autonomous region in northern Iraq from the encroachment by IS, the Islamic State. In a statement, IS boasted of conquering more important areas which were controlled by the Peshmerga, the Cult of Death, and other militias. With a new territory, which the group described as the border triangle of Iraq, Syria, and Turkey, IS has strengthened its hold on territory which traverses the frontiers of Iraq and Syria, giving it even greater ability to move its mujahideen and weapons between the front lines of the civil wars in both countries. Now, that's the first time I've read in the media where the media is actually acknowledging that there is a civil war in both countries. That it's not just Syria that's engaged in the civil war as a result of the American invasion of Iraq. But now Iraq is engaged in the civil war. It's been obvious for months now. According to security officials and residents in the area, the Kurdish forces, the death cult, were routed from Zumar as well, a town on the road from the Syrian border that also sits on oil fields. And then Singar, which is a fairly isolated city in northwestern Iraq that has been home to a sizable community of Yazidis, which are Kurdish-speaking Muslims, who ascribe to a unique blend of Islam and the Persian pagan religion. They're considered apostates by, this says, Muslim extremists, why they really meant to write but didn't have the intellect to say it, fundamentalist Sunni Muslims. It's interesting that Islam, which really is a blend of Arab pagan religious traditions, now has a cult that is both Islamic and Persian. Persia was the god of Persia, Murdoch and Bel. The Lord was the sun. And it's a religion very similar to the religion in Babylon. That is interesting, of course, because Christianity is the same thing. It's nothing but a blend of past pagan religions. And if you look at the only stalwart encampment for Roman Catholicism these days, it would be Central and South America. And throughout Central and South America, Catholicism is a blend between the religions of the Aztecs and the Indians, the Aztecs, the Mayans, and the the Andes Mountains, the Incas. Thank you. You know, when you get old, sometimes your brain doesn't function as well as it should. I had the I part. The Incas, the Mayans, and the Aztecs religion has been blended with Roman Catholicism to create a unique set of religious traditions throughout Central and South America. Here, the Yazidis are Kurdish-speaking pseudo-Muslims with a blend of Islam and the Persian religion. Now, later on Sunday, so this was a big day. Sunday, a big day for ISIS, which is now just is. Later on Sunday, the militants captured Wana, a strategic town near the Tigris River, putting them in control of the Mosul Dam, the country's largest and an important supplier of electricity and water, as we mentioned yesterday. The dam is on the Tigris River, about 30 miles northwest of Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, which, of course, fell to the Islamic State on June 10th of this year. The Yazidis, residents of Shingar, who were reached by phone by this journalist, were terrified. They told of kidnappings and of executions of their sect. They said that everyone in the town was interrogated. They were asked, "What sect are you?" They knew they were Muslims. And if you answered anything other than Sunni, you were killed. We'll return to what the consequences of the Islamic State commanding this dam. As we look at the progress that is making, consolidating the territory that it has gained. And by the way, it is, by most standards now, an independent country. They're actually printing license plates now. Not with Syria as the country, not with Iraq as the country, but with the Islamic State as the country. They don't fly the Syrian flag. They don't fly the Iraqi flag. They fly the flag of the Islamic State. Now, keeping the dam, the one not far from Mosul, out of militant hands has been a priority of the American military advisors who recently rushed back to Iraq because it represents a huge threat. 7 years ago, a report by the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. Of course, we needed Iraq Reconstruction because America broke Iraq. A Pentagon agency highlighted the structural problems associated with the dam and warned about safety issues and hinted at the catastrophic possibilities should the dam fall into the hands of, at the time, it was the Islamic State in Iraq, now simply the Islamic State. The report warned that a failure in the dam could send a 65-foot wave of water across parts of northern Iraq. The worst-case scenario would be a significant loss of life and property. Now, the Islamic State has also waged a fierce battle for the control of Iraq's second-largest dam. This is the Hidatha Dam. It's on the Euphrates River in the Anbar province, further south. There, Iraqi security forces have so far been able to hold off the Islamic State, intermediately anyway, kind of intermittently, I should say. But after the Islamic State took control of Fallujah at the end of last year, they actually seized the Fallujah Dam, opening its gates and flooding farmlands and cutting off the water supply to southern Iraq, which is principally Shia. And by the way, I mean, this kind of inhuman activity is taking place on a grand scale throughout the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. And yet, that beast of a woman who was part of the British cabinet didn't condemn them. Didn't say, you know, I don't want to be part of a government that only half-heartedly condemns the Islamic State. No, she wanted to condemn England because they didn't condemn Israel sufficiently for defending itself. Now, I want to tell you just how bad all this is. There's the Kuwaitis are one of the largest contributors to the Muslim Brotherhood, as are the Qataris, as are the Saudi Arabians. When the Muslim Brotherhood took over Egypt, for example, the Kuwaitis, the Saudi Arabians, and the Qataris collectively contributed tens of billions of dollars to Egypt because the economy just fell apart. And so that's how supportive they are. So the Kuwaiti head of the Muslim Brotherhood led a sermon this past weekend. And this is what he said. Every Muslim mother must nurse her children on hatred of the sons of Zion, so a new generation will erase them from the face of the earth. End quote. Oh, yeah, you little witch up there. And England that resigned because the Israelis were morally reprehensible. And yet Hamas, which is a derivative of the Muslim Brotherhood, had its leader say, every Muslim mother must nurse her children on hatred of the sons of Zion, so a new generation will erase them from the face of the earth. You know, when Netanyahu said what grievance when he was talked down to by the United Nations and the United States and said, you know, you've got to deal with the grievances of the Hamas. And he says, how can I deal with their grievances? Their grievance is that we exist. More proof. Every Muslim mother must nurse her children on hatred, which they do, of the sons of Zion, Jews, so that a new generation will erase them from the face of the earth. And to the Gazans, you received the death you wanted. We are not like the children of Israel, who strive to stay alive. We yearn for death and for martyrdom. I'll be back with you in a moment.